the Liberty University Broadcast Studio, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Hour 3 of the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Great to have you with us. I'm very excited about this hour of the program. We have a very special guest about to join us. By the way, our phone number, 844-747-8868, toll-free number, that's 844-747-8868. Now, one of the things that that really gets me going is when conservative young people are coming under attack on either their high school or their college campuses. And yesterday, a good friend of mine, John McAdams, sent me a note about a student who had been accepted into Marquette University. Her name is Samantha Pefferly. And Samantha is a supporter of President Trump. So she's a high school student, just graduated, and she is a supporter of the president. And as a result of that, and we're going to let her tell the story, as a result of her support of the president, Marquette is threatening to not allow her to be in the freshman class. She could get kicked out of the freshman class. So on the Liberty University Newsmaker line right now is Samantha Pefferly. Hi, Samantha. How are you today?
Hi, Todd. I'm great. Thanks so much for having me.
All right, Samantha, this is a fascinating story, and I can tell you right away, this is going to enrage a lot of our listeners, so you're going to have a lot of supporters here. So I want you to start by telling us about TikTok, which I am not on, but TikTok, very popular among young people these days.
Yes, so I created my platform on TikTok. It's a conservative platform supporting Donald Trump and my conservative views. After my first TikTok video supporting Donald Trump, I have got hate mail. I have gotten threats as well. Somebody told me that they hope I get shot in the head. I hope you get hit by a semi. And this morning I even woke up to somebody saying, kill yourself. So the list goes on of all the hate I'm receiving just from being a Trump supporter and being a conservative.
So you graduated from high school. You were accepted into Marquette. Why is the university upset?
Some Aaron Cool Girl on Instagram told everyone on her platform that I was homophobic for not agreeing that a biological man can claim they are a woman. And she's having a whole bunch of people on her Instagram email my university to get my offer rescinded. And the email's already pre-typed, so all they have to do is go copy and paste and complain about my views.
This is amazing. Apparently, she wrote to the dean of admissions demanding that your admissions be canceled. And
yes.
This is just shocking. How did you find out about all of this?
I was tagged in a couple of things. She tagged me in her stuff as well, so it automatically goes to my direct message. And I also was contacted by the deans.
So this is where I'm very interested in what happened. So you're contacted by the deans. Tell me about that conversation.
They put me through a whole bunch of morality tests. First asking, what would you do if a dreamer lived down the dorm room from you and they didn't like your comment? And my comment was on illegal immigration, and I told her that dreamers are documented in the U.S., so therefore that has nothing to do with my comment because my comment was made on illegal immigration. And then she proceeded to ask, well, what would you do if it was an illegal? And then the list, it just kept going on from there. They just kept asking me questions, saying, you're not a student, and which I've been accepted. I've paid money to go there for housing. And then they continued to question me and say, how could you change your opinion to make other people not see you as how you are?
Now, Samantha, I think it's important for people to understand Marquette is supposedly a Catholic school.
Yes.
Are you yourself a Catholic?
I'm a Christian, yeah.
So, Art, you're a Christian, so it seems as though, especially on issues related to transgenderism, that your belief system would be in line with the teachings of the Catholic Church, which would govern this university. Is that correct?
Correct.
This is fascinating. So they bring you in. Did they actually bring you in, or was this something done over the telephone?
It was over a Zoom meeting, actually. I was on with the assistant dean of Marquette and the undergraduate admissions dean.
If that had been me, I think I might have been a little intimidated by that. Were you intimidated by these people?
Very much so. It was two against one. They already knew what they were going to do before I even stepped foot on the Zoom call. And they even brought a post back from 2015 or to when I was 15 years old. I'm almost 19.
So they went all the way back to when you were 15 years old?
Yes.
What do you think is going on here? Why do you think they're coming after you?
I honestly think it's a witch hunt for conservatives. It's been like this. It's getting worse. It's been like this for a year now. But the more and more I get into politics, and I've obviously witnessed this firsthand, I never understood how conservatives were being treated until now, and it is sickening.
So, Samantha, what has been the outcome? Do you know if you're going to be able to go to Marquette in the fall?
No, it has been a week. I was supposed to hear back in a couple days from them, and I still have not heard back.
This is insane. I'm curious what your parents have to say about all of this, your family.
Yeah, and they contacted the girls that were harassing me on the internet. They contacted them back right away, and it's been a week. Marquette did.
Is that right? Well, this is really sad and very pathetic. Do you have a plan B if you're not able to get into Marquette?
Well, to go back to the question about my parents actually fear for my life as well as I do and my whole family, because I don't even know if I'm going to be able to get into another college after all this stuff is happening, because they're ruining my name.
What part of the country do you guys live in, Samantha?
The Midwest.
Well, look, I think there are a number of great schools that would love to have you. I'm thinking about, you know, Hillsdale or Grove City. Liberty University is another great school where they actually cherish the free exchange of ideas. And that is clearly not happening over at Marquette. This is just absolutely appalling. Do you guys have legal representation? What is your next course of action here?
We would like to take legal action. I'm just not sure how to go about that as of right now, but I'm only 18, so I'm just trying to figure everything out as I go.
And you know what? You shouldn't have to worry about these kinds of things. Like you said, you're 18 years old. You have plenty of other things that you need to be worrying about, and this is not one of them.
Yeah, I just wanted to have a good summer. I wanted to get into college and do what every other kid does. I mean, it's usually a dream to go to college, especially because I've been wanting to go to Marquette for a while now. So it's kind of just like a dream down the drain if this goes the wrong way. And to have a small faction control this, it's absurd.
Well, I think you're doing the right thing here, Samantha, and it's easy for a lot of people to delete their accounts and you know, just maybe not write on Twitter or Instagram or whatever, but I think you did the right thing here. You've got an opinion, and your opinion is just as valuable as anybody else's opinion, and you have that right. And shame on them for coming after you like that.
Yeah, I will not delete anything. I have said nothing wrong, and I will continue to support President Trump and my conservative views. I will stand up for those who aren't standing up.
All right. Well, Samantha, we appreciate you coming on our radio program, and you keep us updated on how things are going. Let us know if Marquette makes a decision here, and we're not going to let them bully you. So if they're coming back and attacking you, you got to let us know about that.
I will, for sure. Thank you so much for having me. It was an honor.
All right. Samantha Peffery, ladies and gentlemen, 18 years old. Can you imagine the courage of this young lady standing up to the cancel culture mob, which is really not a cancel culture mob, it is a fascist mob, trying to silence dissent and then trying to punish people for their belief system. I had a chance to go through and read some of the things Samantha wrote. Absolutely nothing wrong with anything. And because of her conservative beliefs, the university on a witch hunt going back to when she was 15 years old and demanding that she that she explain herself. Folks, this is obscene, and I hope you are outraged. And Samantha, who I know is listening to this program, she needs to hear from you. She needs to know that there are people out there in this country who are standing up and will stand alongside and fight alongside young Americans like this 18-year-old girl from the Midwest. All right, 844-747-8868, our telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. We'll be right back.
America's only fair and balanced talk radio host, Todd Starnes.
So Margie just wrote in on the Facebook live stream, says, Samantha, stick to your guns. You are a rare find and your level of intelligence is admirable. Good for you. Good for you, Margie. And what a great word for Samantha. 18-year-old young lady hauled in before the big guns over at Marquette because this young lady is a supporter of the president and she also holds conservative values. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free number. Let's go to the phones. Portland, Maine. Christina listening to us on WLOB, the Big Lobster. Christina, what's going on today?
Hi, can you hear me?
Christina, you sound lovely. Yes, we can.
Okay, this is the first time I've listened to your show, actually. I just was scanning through the radio stations. I do feel bad for the girl that was applying to a college. I didn't hear necessarily what her statement was or what she had put out at 15 years old that they had a problem with. I think that anyone, whether they're liberal or conservative, that shouldn't come into play, being accepted into a university for sure, as long as somebody's academically is appropriate for that university. However, the lady that was speaking before that saying that she's experiencing a reverse prejudice against, I'm assuming, white people. I'm just saying, I'm 50 years old. I live in Portland, Maine. I am a teacher, and I have three children. 28 is my daughter. My two sons are 20 and 18. And I've just never experienced white prejudice in my life. I sent my kids to the YMCA daycare. I didn't feel like they were indoctrinated in any way. I feel like, as you may know, in Portland, Maine, there was a lot of protests, and I'm feeling that a lot of that happens because sometimes it's an overreaction, some of the behaviors that happen during that, during the protests or whatever, but I do feel that they are necessary in some way. And if people are experiencing white prejudice, I would ask them to think about minorities experiencing that prejudice for a very long period of time. Does
so
that make sense?
Who exactly?
No,
I hear what you're saying here, Christina. I guess my question would be, slavery has been over for well over 100 years now.
That's correct.
So you and I, and we're about the same age, you and I, the minorities we went to school with, we grew up with, were not enslaved. You know, white people in America have not owned slaves. So I'm wondering what kind of racism you're referring to. What kind have people of color been disenfranchised?
I guess my response to that would be, I mean, 100 years from slavery is really kind of culturally a blink of the eye. I mean, when you come from a black family, for instance, I'm Scottish. You know, I know I can trace my lineage all the way back to Aberdeen and my grandmother moved here from Scotland. I know who my family is. Most people that are African-American today in society, I mean, they come from, you know, people, the grandparents, great-grandparents that were slaves. They have the last name of slave owners. They don't really have that same cultural background. So the immediate people in the South leaving slavery still experienced, until civil rights, a huge degree of prejudice. I mean, a black grandfather could be walking down the street and expected to step off a sidewalk for a 20-year-old white person walking down the street and be called boy. That's a reality. So there's, what I'm saying is that is instilled when you're raising children, and it's black people and minorities are profiled to some degree. What I'm saying is that, no, I've never been prejudicial towards minorities that I'm aware of. However, to say that they don't experience that, or that it's in their mind or it's made up, is, I just think, not realistic. So when
Christina,
about a white person that is experiencing it, I could say, well, you know, that's just in their mind as well.
So you've got a kid, and you said your children are older.
I have children.
And many public schools, they're teaching white children that there's something wrong with them, that they have privilege. They are born with privilege. They are singling out these kids
teaching,
because of the color of their skin.
Right, and I feel like minorities have been singled out as well, which is wrong for
how have they been singled
years.
Out? How have they been singled out? Let's talk modern day. Let's talk modern day. How have they been singled out?
Well, first of all, I just want to go back to the fact that I am a teacher. I work in public school system, and I'm a history teacher. So I have never taught white people that they are all privileged and they're being singled out. So I adamantly disagree with that. Yeah, it is good. So what I'm saying is I haven't experienced that. So I'm wondering where these cases are, because when I talk to other people or my children, their friends, this isn't something that they have experienced. So
Christine, let me ask you this. In your area, are there a lot of minorities that live in your community, or is it a predominantly white community?
No, there are a lot of minorities, because Portland surrounding area is a immigrant city that we have a huge Somalian population. And then we also have many Latin American populations from migrant work that have stayed as well. So I mean, I'll just give you a for instance. My boyfriend for the past several years was from Puerto Rico, which, you know, is a territory of the United States. When I speak Spanish as well, but when we go someplace and speak Spanish, there literally was people that would come up to him and say, "You're an American now, speak English." And he's like, "I am American."
That's really happened to you.
Well, that's pretty crappy. It is.
And look, Christina, we're coming up on a break here, so we're going to let you go. But I will open this question up to the listening audience, because folks, Christina, thank you for your call, and thank you for being one of those good teachers in the public schools who's not teaching white privilege. Christina says she doesn't see that this is a big problem in her community. What say you, ladies and gentlemen, in your communities? 844-747-8868. We are opening up the phone lines for the rest of the show on this. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. A lot of people wanting to weigh in on what Christina had to say. She is a school teacher there in the great state of Maine that just happened to be listening to the show. Christina, well, welcome. We love when people of all different stripes and persuasions, politically speaking, listen to this program. Jory writes in on the Facebook Live page. I've experienced it. My son was coming home from work riding his bicycle. When he got off the subway, he was attacked by some minorities. He says it's happened more than one time over the years, and he's had enough of all of this crap. Bill says, "I grew up in Detroit. Black on white crime is very real. And it is real. The numbers reflect that. It is a very real problem. But even more so, black-on-black crime is just off the charts. And we've got to address those issues. Nobody wants to talk about that stuff. All right, let's go to the phones. Gary is listening to us on WLOB, Portland, Maine. Gary, I understand you wanted to respond to something Christina said.
Yeah, it's a little bit of both. And yeah, thank you very much, Todd. We've talked a number of times. You know, one of the things for me is that they never talk about is with the slavery is that, you know, the 1830 census talks about, you know, there was 3,750 black slave owners that owned over 12,000 slaves. And you never hear about that in history anymore. You know, or the first black slave, the first slave owner was a black person, Anthony Johnson. I happen to have been a history teacher for a while, too, 5 years, and they would not let us teach those things, you know, basically George Washington up. But I work right on Portland Street, and I see a lot of black immigration that is more pointed towards we need to just have more money, give us more money. I see fights down there started by all kinds of races.
But Gary, and you know, Gary, just think about this for a minute. If America really is as racist as the mainstream media says, and the race baiting agitators say, why is it that we have so many minorities and people of color wanting to come to this country to live their life, to claim the American dream? I mean, look at Ilhan Omar. Her family, escaped brutal oppression and came here to this country. And she has nothing good to say about America. She hates this country. But you know what? This country, her family came here. When they wanted freedom, they didn't go anywhere else. They came to America. And again, this is a story that gets lost in the mainstream media narrative. Just look at where all the people are coming from. We're talking about Hispanics. We're talking about Africans coming to this country to live the American dream. And if we're such a bad place, why are people coming here?
I agree 100%, you know, and I see it right down on the streets where, I've seen, you know, I don't know if they're from another country, if they're just American blacks, but I see the more animosity towards black American blacks towards African blacks and towards Muslims. That those three are the ones on our streets fighting more than you see any white people. You know, I've seen blacks walking down the street with their fingers in the air, making it look like a pistol, going bang, bang, bang at different people.
You know? Well, look, one of the reasons why, and Gary, thank you for the call. One of the reasons why the couple in St. Louis out on the front lawn with their weapons, they're being castigated in the media as being racist. And I don't see that because a good many of the people in that crowd happen to be white people. So this is not about race. This is about something much bigger. When you, just a few days before the incident in St. Louis, you had hundreds of people marching through Beverly Hills, California, very wealthy area. I've been there many times, beautiful countryside there in Beverly Hills, beautiful homes. And you had these Black Lives Matter protesters marching through the streets saying, eat the rich. Eat the rich. Now, if you're a rich person who lives in Beverly Hills and you see a big mob show up on your front yard and they're chanting, eat the rich, what would you do? 844-747-8868. Let's go to Denny, listening to us on KWAM. Hi, Denny. What's on your mind?
Hey, hi, Todd. You got another school teacher on the line here. I'm a little bit older. I'm a retired public school teacher. I taught social studies. My career began way back in 1973. So, and I called in just to give you a couple observations here. I kind of feel like I had a front row seat because I go that far back in terms of watching what was playing out during all those years in school and then seeing what's going on today with this very radical left agenda, obviously very visible, silence of the conservatives and all this demonization of our country and its history. I saw it happen over time. I'll be real brief here. Everyone knows that teachers are obviously going to universities to get their degrees, so they're greatly influenced in that respect. But what's not well known is the universities also are the source. Obviously, they write the textbooks, the professors do. They're the source of most of the curriculum. They conduct the teacher seminars, so they have this really heavy hand on K-12 all the way through. Now, over the years, I witnessed, and other teachers along with me, what we consider to be just really stupid ideas coming down from some of the seminars we had to attend. Over time, what was going on is we saw actually everything was being weakened. There was the phonics were being taken out, the grammar was de-emphasized, things like spelling de-emphasized, in facts like math tables were kind of being replaced with fancy titles like values clarification. And then more recently, this Common Core you've heard a lot about. But we witnessed the discipline standards being dramatically lowered, grades being inflated, this whole idea that it's not my fault, it's society's fault. And then we started seeing a big use of drugs like Ritalin, which is really quite amazing. Now, the changing of the textbooks, I started seeing in the 80s. As I said, I was a social studies teacher. And I began to see what was going on. They were literally changing the books, eliminating a lot of the important information about our Judeo-Christian heritage, and then started obviously painting our country as being founded on greed and racism, this everything we see today. That began back in the 80s. It got worse into the 90s, and especially after 9/11, it really got worse, where the books were just dramatically changed. And it got to the point where I had to tell my students, the textbook says this, but it's not right. It's not correct. And the kids would always ask, well, why would it be written that way? And that led to some pretty good conversations as to maybe these people have an agenda. They want you to think something different about our country than is actually true. And so we had some
Denny,
really good
let me jump in here for a second. Let me jump in here.
Yep.
I'm curious if you had any conversations with your colleagues, fellow teachers, who also shared your concerns about what was happening in the classroom.
Yeah, Todd, I would say when I started teaching, there was probably at least a third of the teachers, I would say. Now, I come from a conservative viewpoint. I'm Christian. And I would say probably close to a third shared my view, and I don't have any formal, any actual hard data to show that, just one I witnessed. And I think over time that number got less. And that obviously was accumulation of changing of the teacher colleges, indoctrination going on, and to the point of today, which would be considerably less because you have this accumulation of all these changes and teachers being trained in a total different way. They themselves believe, many of them believe, the younger ones, that the United States is a racial, was founded on racism and that kind of thing. So I'd say that
Denny,
changed over time.
Let me go back here. When did you notice, what year did you notice this shift?
In the 80s, I started seeing changes in the textbooks slowly. I'm not sure that they didn't happen before then. The agenda was obviously way before that. If your listeners want to study into this, I would suggest looking up Frankfurt School, Herbert Marcuse, for example. But I started saying the 80s. Into the 90s, I was asked to start a multicultural club in the 90s, and thinking that sounds pretty cool. I was teaching a lot of geography at the time, and I started, and we did a lot of activities with, that was kind of an extension of my classroom. But then all of a sudden, the administration asked me to incorporate LGBT ideas, and they started in some of this demonization of our history. So I thought, wait a minute, that's not what I signed up for here. And then I started to understand what this multicultural program was all about. So I actually stopped the club.
Yeah, Denny, multicultural means everybody except for straight Christians, straight white Christians,
exactly.
I believe.
Totally.
Wow.
Exactly
so, right. Wow, Denny, this is fascinating, and I think you've really given us a lot of insight. We'd love to get you, call back to the show one of these days. This is a big deal, and we're going to have to get a handle on what's happening in our classrooms, ladies and gentlemen. Otherwise, we're going to lose the country. There's no way around it. Denny, thanks for the call. The 1980s, did you hear that? The 1980s. 30 years our kids have been indoctrinated. 30 years. All right, let's go to Arkansas. SG is listening to us on KARN. Hi, SG, what's on your mind?
Yes, it's so much going on. It's confusing, but I always thought to myself if it can get better, but people always think negative instead of thinking positive.
Well, look, I'm a pretty positive, hopeful person here, but people are going to have to be willing to get some skin in the game and stand up for what's right. And if we don't, then we are going to lose the country. But I'm hopeful that enough good-hearted people are going to be able to stand up and we can put a stop to all this nonsense.
Well, we should, because it's two things. The first one was like the things that's going on, like when you have people coming from around the world coming to America. It's like, okay, I wouldn't go over in India or Hawaii and take over. And I'm like, they're like, well, you should be back in America. Why are you trying to come over and take over? I'm not trying to come over and take over. I visit, but I won't take over.
So what are you saying? Are you saying what are you saying in connection to the United States of America here?
Well, as people say, okay, well, I'm a very patient person. You got people that come to visit. There's nothing wrong with that. But you got a lot of, like, people come over here, and then it's, like, confusing. But I go over there, and they're like, okay, we got an American coming over. I'm like, no, I just want to visit, and that's it. I'm not trying to start no chaos or nothing. But when they come here, it's, like, kind of different. It's been that way for a while, but.
Well, what do you think about someone? Let's take Ilhan Omar, who, quite frankly, has lived the American dream. I mean, she's serving in the United States Congress. She's a refugee from a very bad country, war-torn country, and she has very little good to say about the United States of America.
Well, if she wanted to come and live, there's nothing wrong with that. If it took a while for her to get here and she's finally here, well, that's okay. But if she has very little to say, it's like confusing, but that'll be okay.
Well, it seems to me that if she's not happy with America, she's more than happy to go live wherever she wants. She has a passport. She can go and live in whatever country she wants to live in, SG.
Well,
if America is that
okay,
bad.
Yeah, there's a lot of other places, yeah, that they could go to. It's like I met a couple of Africans one time, and they had an attitude. It's like, oh, well, y'all get so much freedom here. We don't get food stamps. We can't get college grants and this and that. I'm like, okay, and I thought to myself, well, why are you here? And y'all, some of y'all don't like it over here. I like us over here.
And again, that's not freedom. That's you know, freedom is going out there and living the American dream, going out there and being, you know, whatever you want to be in life. And if you, you know, by and large, if you get an education and you work your butt off, you take personal responsibility for yourself and you have a personal value system. For me, that happens. I'm a Christian. If you have a value system and you cling to those things, SG, it just seems to me that you're going to be okay in life.
Well, like I say, we will get better in life. And then the other thing that's going on with a lot of drama is these gang members in America. And I met a couple of them, youngsters. They're like 20-some or 18. I'm like, either y'all got a choice. Why don't y'all just go on and go to the military or just go on and have a shootout with all of y'all with each other in the field and just get it over with?
There you go.
I mean, simple as that. A couple of people, other people agree with me at 40 years old and up. They said, but they don't want to do that. They're scared of that.
That's right.
And all this hatred in America. Now, I wasn't taught to be, I'm a black guy, but I wasn't taught to hate to be that way. But I see what goes on, and I'm like, okay, you got the Nazis. And I said, won't the Nazis just have a shootout with the gangbangers and the gangbangers have a shootout with each other?
If it was so easy, SG. All right, SG, good call. Give us a holler back. We're up against a break. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
Well, I was just told that I was a little off on my math there. The 1980s, that was 40 years ago. Jeez-a-loo, I feel old, Very old.
Yeah, I hated to be the bearer of bad news, but that it was in fact 40 years ago.
Jeez, Lou. That was a good decade, though.
A lot of good movies.
If you're going to, if you're going to be a teenager, that was the time to be a teenager, the 1980s. Love that decade. By the way, Joe Biden just held his first press conference in a bazillion years, and he was asked if he had been tested for the coronavirus, and Biden says he has not been tested for the coronavirus. If I would have asked politely if he had been tested for any other major medical illness, like dementia.
Or an IQ test.
Well, that too. Biden was not wearing a mask. He was telling everybody, that you've got to wear a mask. It's your patriotic duty that you've got to wear a mask. And Biden was not wearing a mask during the press conference. So a lot of folks were wondering, hey, what's up there? Biden was caught during the press conference. Apparently, this was all planned out. And so at one point, old Joe had asked, okay, who am I supposed to go to next? So all of the questions apparently were pre-planned. Joe Biden, he's...
To be fair, it's better than some of the other things he's been caught doing at press conferences in the past.
True. I don't think any women were fondled, and I don't think any children were, put in unnatural positions.
There wasn't any sniffing, was there?
No, there wasn't a sniffing. No sniffing of the hair. But then again, you never know. You never know. I'm excited about tomorrow's show. Now, Caleb, we've got to have, I think we sent you the bumper music suggestions because Ted Nugent is going to be on the show tomorrow. He's making his debut on the Todd Starnes radio show.
Is this the first musician that we've had on the show since
the change? I got the heave-ho at Fox. Is that what you're asking? Yeah,
is this the first musician? Well, no, we had those two guys who did the music videos with the quarantine.
Yeah, that's right. The Benson Family Singers. Yeah. Yeah. So I think you're right. I think this is the first one. So this is a big deal for us.
Looking forward to it.
All right. Tomorrow, the Nuge, Ted Nugent, going to be on the show. Going to be a lot of fun. Other great guests are coming up as well, plus your calls, as always. In the meantime, folks, be sure to check out the website, toddstarnes.com. If you have not downloaded the podcast, subscribe to the podcast, folks. You're going to love it. It's a commercial-free podcast. It's a blast. You're going to enjoy it. If you can't pick up all 3 hours of the show, you can pick it up on the podcast. All right, get out there. Have a great day. And I got to turn down the air conditioning.